71. This is a show all about Pokemon's Video Game Championship Series. I am your host, Steven Morioka, and today I am here with Alex Underhill.
Hey.
All right, well, for this episode, we have all cards on the table. There's nothing going to be hidden from anything. And, if anyone is still concerned about any spoilers for the Sword and Shield games, just letting you know now, we're going to talk everything. All cards. Everything is totally open to talk about. I've seen everything. And like all the
but
new
this
games.
This is a
and
video
stuff.
Game podcast.
That's right. Ah, oh, dang it. I
not
missed
the
it.
TCG.
Did I miss that intro?
Huh? No, you, no
wait,
it's
I
just
got
that.
That.
I think you did. It's just that you said all the cards and I was making a TCG joke. Come on.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about these Sword and Shield games here, what the metagame's like, you know, within these first few weeks, and it's just going to be very exciting. A lot of these changes, some unexpected turns we've seen, some updates, and, you know, what we just think about the games and the, you know, competitive stuff so far. So, I guess, Alex, before we do any of that, let's brush up onto a regional that happened over the weekend. This will be a very quick update here. But we had the Daytona Beach Regional in Florida over this past Thanksgiving weekend. Why don't you go ahead and you know give us a quick wrap up or a recap of that?
Yeah, so I think I only caught maybe one round of this tournament, maybe round four or three or something like that. It was William Marks versus Renee, who are two of the players that ended up making it to the top cut here in Daytona. A very, very small tournament. A lot of us knew this going in, just, you know, watch, there's the Arcanine Labs or whatever, you can track it on, and like, I remember at some point, it was at, like, 19, and people were like, oh, wow, like, this is gonna be the smallest regional ever. We ended up reaching a total of 35 here, so, it's a number, it is a number, that resulted with a top 8 cut, but top 4 were the ones given prize money. Everybody in top 8 did get CP. I don't know if they earned enough for a top 16 CP. I feel like
definitely
no.
Not.
I think it's like 40. You can find those numbers on Pokemon's rule doc, whatever page. Maybe it's on the kicker page for regionals. But I'm not gonna tell you because I don't know it, and I won't make it up. We saw that Brady Smith took it over Joseph Ugarte in the finals of the tournament. Brady using a team of Groudon, Xerneas, Mega Salamence, Tapu Fini, Incineroar, and Shedinja, a very popular Groudon, Xerneas team that we've seen throughout the format, popularized by Melvin Key. And yeah, it's just that kind of Shedinja tech, which can really just steal games if you don't have electric or grass types, which it does seem Joe does have the electric or grass types, but maybe Shedinja wasn't the key to the matchup here versus Joe. And Joe was running that team that he's always been running, that we've probably mentioned the six before, Groudon, Yveltal, Mega Metagross, Tepu Koko, Incineroar, and Venusaur.
Yeah, so Joe definitely would have had solutions for Brady Smith's Shedinja, whether it was just Shedinja up by itself or it was a soak to change it to a water type. Either way, you know, Brady ended up on top. I also did not get a chance to catch any of this regional at all. So, about your statement earlier about the regional being the smallest ever, that statement still holds true for this one, especially for this especially in Masters. Like, previous to this, I think, like, Knoxville and then, Kansas City in 2016, those have been the smallest, like, close to that 70-person range, and this is half of that. And this is, you know, the officially right at the end of Ultra Series here, which I guess kind of makes sense, is now the smallest regional in Masters in North America, at least. I don't know what stuff's been in other regions.
Yeah, surely there's been some small events across the pond in both directions, because those regions just don't seem to get quite the attendance the U.S. does, but they definitely have reached higher peaks than what we've got here. I was about to say that the top four teams are the exact same, but they differ by one Pokemon, which does change the flow of the team drastically, as well as some of the moveset choices, surely. But we have a Kangtorn team with Incineroar and Amoongus as the supporting cast, but Xerneas on both teams. However, the two different primals, Steven Maya with a Kyogre and William Marks with a Groudon. Steven, he's been using this team since Worlds. It's the team that he ended up top cutting with. William Marks using the classic Kangtorn 6 that we have seen take two regional championships already in this post-Worlds format. And then I'll just run through the remainder of the top 8 really quick here. We've got Ashton Cox in 5th place with the Xerneas, Lunala, Kangaskhan, Incineroar, Smeargle, and Crobat. I believe that's a team him and Jeremy Rodriguez have been running this post-Worlds. Renee with a typical Kangtorn team, though the Amoongus has been subbed out for an Oranguru, which is interesting. Not sure exactly what matchups that, you know, did or didn't help, but it obviously didn't take him all the way, so who knows. Bingji was using the same team that he ended up getting second place at Portland with that same Rayquaza, Palkia, Tapu Lele, Incineroar, Kartana, and Stakataka. And then lastly, Nick Harper finishing it out with a Groudon, Necrozma, Duskmane, Salamence, Mega, Tapu Lele, Bisharp, and a Stakataka.
Nice. So pretty much all sorts of versions of teams we've seen before in the past, other than Oranguru on Renee Alvarenga's team. So that was kind of like the unique pick for this whole tournament. And what do you happen to remember what the country Renee's from? Because I do not know how to identify that flag.
Yeah, no, I do not know either. So apologies to Renee, because I've even played him in tournament before, maybe even multiple times. But I honestly do not know which country it is. So apologies to Renee.
That's all right. So that's a Latin America flag, and maybe I'll just look that up in interim at some point, and I'll give us an update. But anyway, this is one of the final Ultra Series events we have, you know, major events. There's, for North America at least, we have San Diego Regional this upcoming weekend, the last one in North America, and there are several other special events around the world, I think this weekend as well, and the following weekend, so December, whatever that is, 14, 15, 16, I don't remember the dates of that, but, you know, those dates. So those will be the, you know, essentially final Ultra Series events. And then everyone can fully focus on the Sword and Shield games and metagame.
Yes, and that's actually what I would like to turn our focus to now, because I have run out of things to say about Ultra Series. I've actually tried to delete it all from my brain, so I'm going to try to keep it that way.
Okay.
Let's move on here. Again, don't want to bag on Ultra Series too much. I do think it was an alright format. But moving on, Steven is now ready to take the deep dive, the deep plunge into everything there is Sword and Shield, VGC, what it is, you know, come to be so far, as we are, I think, 2 weeks out of the game, maybe going on 3.
Yeah, sounds accurate.
And so there are a lot of things that have changed, you know, moving to a new generation, lots of things that have come and gone. Especially, you know, with the whole national decks thing, but that doesn't, you know, totally affect VGC, at least for our first year. Our first year is looking pretty typical for what a VGC format would be, very comparable to formats like VGC 2017 and VGC 2014. Although I am making a couple of assumptions because the rules doc has not yet been released. We're hoping to see that soon.
Yeah, it'll come out at a later time, and we'll definitely go over it whenever that happens. And also VGC 2011, it was also technically a regional Pokedex, the Unova Dex.
I know, that one's
even
like...
more fun about that is that game was technically all Unova Pokemon. They did not have any previous gens for that format as well as the Unova decks.
Honestly, that idea sounds just interesting, but also, as far as I've heard, it was not a fun year.
I can attest to that. That is correct. There were, you know, the Unova Pokedex in general is just like 150, around 150 Pokemon, 150 plus.
Which was great. Yeah. At least that was great at the time for every, like, casual fan. Because, you know, I think it's the most introduced Pokemon since Gen 1, and still to this day.
Yeah, so that's really cool. It made me really like a lot of the Gen 5 Pokemon, probably because of that format. But when it came to the viability of Pokemon, there was probably a list of 10 or 12 at most. And you would see those constantly, all the time, all spring back then. So all spring and summer. But very, very small pickings of the top Pokemon you could use.
Thankfully, this year, we've got a large selection, both new and old. There are 400 total Pokemon in the Pokedex and in the region. Again, I'm going to actually steer us a little bit away from the competitive side, just briefly dip into the casual side with Steven here, because Steven and I have both completed the game now, and I wanted to ask Steven his thoughts now that he has completed, at least I assume, the main game of Shield.
Yes, that's correct. I finally finished that. You know, it wasn't too far off last time we recorded, actually. And I mean, this is a very pretty game to play. It was a lot of fun. The wild area was very enjoyable. Just getting to see all the Pokemon out there, you know, roaming around, as well as having your random encounters. The dens, the wild area dens, those are a lot of fun to challenge the raid bosses. So the raid battles to fight those Dynamax Pokemon. And funny enough is that most of those are the ways to get hidden abilities on a lot of the Pokemon, which I think is kind of funny. And otherwise, just going through the story, like, without the HMs in the game, it felt very lame the way they kind of blocked off certain paths, because the game was linear, so they just used Team Yell a lot, which is really funny how they revealed what, you know, they ultimately were. And I think, as we predicted, Rose was, you know, one of the primary, like, villains in the end of the game.
I had given up the theory when you had dinner with him, and I was like, oh, it's just going to be Olenna. Like, Olenna is the only evil person, and that Rose is, like, you know, supposed to be a bit of a mislead, and that he was, like, too easy of a pick, and then Olenna was the one really pulling the strings, and he was just kind of, like, the face. But no, he was also just very bad. No, Lena actually wasn't all bad.
Yeah, she was just very supportive. One other thing I want to say about just, like, going through the whole story in general is that I was pretty disappointed with the rivals going through the whole way. So you have a Hop who you start with, and then there's Marnie as well as Bede. And
I believe the name is Bede.
Bede, sure, whatever. Bede, then. All three of them had really, like, disappointing, conclusions to their stories. I thought they were all kind of, forgettable.
I thought they were all right. I think they were better than, you know, years past. I think Hop was cool because he was just trying to learn to live in his brother's shadow, which was interesting enough. And that, like, the fact that he goes on to become the, well, actually, I was going to say something else, but have you beaten the postgame, Steven?
I'm still working through that, but you can go ahead if you want.
No, I'll leave this for you.
All right, fine.
Because I thought it was fun.
Because, like, I've been chipping away at that part, as well as, building stuff for my teams and working on all that, too.
I did it the same. I was like, I've beaten the game, I want to get to the VGC, but also there's still work to be done.
Right.
So, yeah,
okay,
and
fine.
Then I guess
we can
last
save
thoughts.
It. Let's save it.
I'm saving it for you. Anyway, some last thoughts, though, is I do think that it was interesting that, like, the throughout the whole story, it just felt like the, you know, the typical bad guy arc was very lacking. Whereas, like, you know, Team Yell was kind of the mislead, which, I mean, was pretty obvious, I think, in my opinion. But And it's kind of silly they do that after, like, Team Skull and the whole, like, that whole business. But I think that was a little lacking in that, you know, just going through the story, there was not as much of a, like, bad guy team that you needed to stop. But I think that the gym challenge was, like, amazing. I know that we've gone back to gyms from totems, which were a cool step away, but like I think this time they finally did gyms right, because as somebody like I saw posted somewhere in years past, it was like you're a 10-year-old kid beating up a grown adult in like a just a gym locker room or something like that, like where nobody is seeing this and you are just, you know, collecting these badges, go on to like, you know, do this like private Elite Four and then beat the champion, but like nobody really knows about this. But when it's in a stadium and when it's like the whole storyline, this gym challenge that a select few people get even like, you know, endorsed for, I think that was a really fun aspect in that like it made the gym challenge way more exciting.
Yeah, this is something I really liked about this this game, to be able to allow us to do that. So a lot of times it felt like, wow, this is like, this is kind of what it feels like when you're on stream at a tournament, you know? You got all these people mm-hmm. watching you and your people in the crowd at the venues too. So it's like we could, I think the two of us as players already could have related to that, as well as anyone else who's been to a major tournament before. So that was a lot of fun to experience that. So I did also enjoy that a lot.
So other than that, I don't really have any other major story aspects to comment on. How about you, Steven, before we get moving on to the VGC here?
When you do fight the champion in the end, Leon, and he tosses off his cape, that was a very nice touch they added to that right before you start fighting him. Just want to say, put that in.
They corrected his outfit as much as they could, because, oh boy, that was a big, big mistake.
I guess if
we're going to hold on, I do have another comment, and that is, I think it was a little rushed that it was like 3 days later after you had saved the world. Leon's like, no, the champion match must still happen. Like, and they just immediately cut to that. And it was just like, you don't get to see any of the falling action from you, you know, saving the world or whatever. And it's just like, let's just go back to normal. Okay, cool. Everybody cool? Cool.
Yeah, it seems so soon, right? And they put you up in that hotel instead of like taking you home. Two. I guess you're
yeah,
gonna...
like you don't even. Maybe your mom didn't even come see you or anything.
I mean, I guess she would have been there because she would have probably heard the story on the news, and we did see your mom, the character, in the crowd for the championship match.
Oh, that's true. She was probably there for the match anyway, so maybe that's why you all stayed there. That's still silly.
Yeah, man. There's another point I wanted to bring up about the story or the just plot of the game, but I don't remember that anymore. So let's if you wanted to move on, I think we're ready here.
Yeah, so we're gonna kick us off with a short little bit of basically the Pokemon weren't the only things cut from the game. Actually, some moves were selected to be removed from the game, and there's one in particular that is probably the most important, and that is Hidden Power. Hidden Power was selected to be taken out of the game, so now we don't have to worry about how that, you know, works with max moves, kind of like how in Z moves it was just the normal Z move. That might have been part of the reason they took it out, but also I guess maybe they just didn't want to deal with Pokemon having, you know, infinite coverage anymore, and they wanted, you know, to make things, maybe this is a way of balancing. I think it was a interesting take. I don't know how I feel it. I'm pretty neutral. I guess we'll just have to see how the games play out. I honestly don't think it's going to be that negative of an impact, though.
I agree with that. I don't think there's going to be any sort of like negative impact to it. This is a significant change, though, I feel. Because
absolutely.
If you remember, like, the, you know, probably the original intent of Hidden Power is, you know, you could have any type of coverage move you wanted, you know, outside of Fairy in the recent games, but you could you essentially have coverage when a Pokemon normally would not be able to do that. So you think about like Thundurus, especially even Zapdos. Zapdos has a even like tighter move pool than it way back in the past. So Hidden Power Ice and Thunderbolt would be like almost perfect coverage back then. So it's also nice that aside from just the losing all that, for building teams in game and trying to make this more friendly for, you know, newer players, make the everything as accessible as possible, it's super annoying to have to like keep looking for the Pokemon with the correct hidden power. And this is something they also probably didn't want to add some other feature to change the types of the hidden powers as well. So while a lot of other features played into it, it'll be nice not to be having those surprises from all these Pokemon. some, because like in the past, you know, how many times have you used Pokemon that had a double weakness to something, and then you get a surprise hidden power from your opponent that you weren't expecting, then you get a KO, and then that puts you in a hole in the game. So at least when you see a Pokemon, you can, you know, its move pool. There aren't going to be any of the hidden power surprises, but this is a pretty significant change, though. Like, the all the Pokemon do have to rely on their own natural abilities, talents, and moves now.
Yeah, I think that's good. Poor unknown, though.
Oh, that's right. Well, it's not in this game, so...
It's not in the game, but that is its existence. So anyway, Steven, I had three more moves listed here, personally, from when I was going through the list back when I went full spoilers, and I noted that Pursuit is now gone, which is not the biggest move ever in VGC, but nonetheless, I still think it is notable. The move Assist is gone, and that was like a... I mean, it hasn't been big ever since, you know, the fall of Void Cats.
Right. But that's what I was thinking about.
It's still, like, it was still a notable move for some cheesy strategies, I guess. Like, we saw, like, you know, Sheer Cats or Dive Cats. Those were some fun things you could do, but I guess they were done with Assist. And then lastly, Sky Drop is probably the biggest one for VGC.
Yeah, just the, you think about the history of that move, it's had so many issues in the past. Like, even most recently in Gen 7, when we first started in 2017, right? Wasn't there some sort of thing where they wouldn't allow Sky Drop in combination with something else because it, like, froze the game or something?
No, I think it was, was it Sky Drop plus, Spiky Shield would cause the zombie glitch?
Is that... Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. That's the one I'm thinking
about. They didn't ban it in any sense of the word. They ended up patching it out, I believe.
Okay, so they did... They were aware of it. They need to patch it out. But even going back to Gen 5, when Sky Drop was first introduced, they just banned it outright because there were so many technical problems with it.
Yep. Yep, I remember this.
You know, it was a very funky move. You know, we saw a lot of usage in it recently, so it's, well, it's gone now. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I'm a little bit sad. It was a very, like, strong competitive move for just, it was like, you know, enabled cheese, but also was anti-cheese. You know, it could really just change the game because of how many, like, you could, you know, lock in one Pokemon, but you're locking in yourself, and, yeah, I just really enjoyed that aspect of it. I think it was really cool. Sad to see it go, but again, I don't think it's going to hurt the game at large.
Oh, you know what the thing is about it? This has got to be it. It's the weight because of Dynamax.
No, Steven, because if you want to go down that road, they would just make Sky Drop fail automatically. Because and I don't know if you know about this. I might be learning you here. But Heavy Slam and Heat Crash are two moves that are somewhat prevalent in the format, and they fail on Dynamax Pokemon.
Oh, that's interesting. I did not know that.
They just completely fail. It is very weird because, there are, like, for example, a Pokemon like Copperajah. Copperajah actually learns both of these two moves and very much enjoys them because it's a heavy elephant. But it makes it kind of hard to run the... I think it gets the ability Heavy Metal. It makes it hard to run that set because if your opponent chooses to Dynamax any other Pokemon at any point and you go for a Heavy Slam into that slot, they will not take any, like, lesser damage. They take completely zero damage. Like, it's kind of sad if you get that wrong.
Yeah, that definitely is, just hearing about that. For anyone who doesn't know, Copperajah is a pure Steel-type elephant... who was, you know, the, I guess, signature Pokemon of Chairman Rose. It has its own Gigantamax form, and its regular ability is Sheer Force, so you could learn some moves to kind of work with that, and you can give it a Life Orb, and that item tied with that ability does not take away your HP, which Life Orb typically does. So some neat combinations there for that Pokemon. But I did not know that about those weight-based moves. But anyway, just real quick, getting back to Sky Drop. I guess they just took it out for various other reasons, but I'm just trying to come up with some ideas here.
Yeah, like, it must be, like, something they didn't want to deal with, like, coding for it or something. is my guess. Or, you know, maybe they, again, a lot of these changes were because of balance. So I think that very much could be the reason it's gone.
Certainly.
Now,
yeah.
Steven, I have like Pokemon move set updates here, a bunch of them. Actually, wait, we will get to those after one quick thing, though. Something that we talked about last week. And I'm just going to run through it again just so we can keep it in mind as we go through the list of moves. Is several abilities were updated to be Intimidate immune. That is, once again, Inner Focus, Own Tempo, Oblivious, Scrappy, and it says, I have here Intimidate. I'm wondering, was that Intimidate immune?
Wait, Intimidate's immune to Intimidate? Or do you mean like Rattled? The other one, that other thing?
Yeah, I must have miswrote Intimidate, because Rattled is not quite immune, but you do get the speed boost. I don't know why I wrote Intimidate here. Maybe I just accidentally wrote it twice when I was trying to write Intimidate immune. Anyway, So a lot of these Pokemon got buffed. Like, Steven and I were dancing around it last week because Steven didn't know the full format yet, but, you know, Pokemon like Mudsdale get Inner Focus. Mamoswine gets Oblivious. Scrappy is on Sirfetch'd, and it's on Pangoro.
Right, and Lucario's got Inner Focus as well. Just speaking of going back to Mudsdale, I'm sure we're going to reference it again later on in this show. But Mudsdale now has Inner Focus, Own Tempo, and Stamina. Like, all three solid abilities, which have their own, like, they can all do very significant and different things for it. So I think it's really cool that you got to have all those options with Mudsdale.
One of my favorite things is having a Pokemon with three good abilities. I think I talked about this before, but Conkeldurr comes to mind. And just when you have this, like, deadly arsenal at your hands, it's just like, oh man, like, it's like pick your poison, but they're all great. It's just so much fun because, like, you can really, you know, tweak the Pokemon to your heart's desire. And it's not just this, like, static thing where it's like a Rotom Wash and it has to have Levitate, or like a Arcanine in past years that just always ran Intimidate, you know, like,
right. Quickly about Conkeldurr, it's I do agree that it has three all solid abilities as well.
But you disagree on the pronunciation?
Absolutely. The other thing is, I just wanted to for Conkeldurr, how would you rank those abilities? Like, because for me, probably my number one would be Guts, Iron Fist, and then Sheer Force.
I would probably put them in the same order, though. I will probably talk more about Conkeldurr later in the show.
Oh, you're killing me, man.
I might actually change my opinion, at least for this format. So, actually, one more thing before we get into the move, or into the moveset updates, is that multi-attack was changed to 120 base power. Which, if you know the move multi-attack, it is the signature move of Silvally. I don't know if Type Null does or doesn't get it. I don't think it does, because it's not quite able to change types yet.
Right.
But it is able to use the Aviolite, which is pretty cool.
How big of a buff was that?
It used to be 90.
90, okay. That's a pretty big jump.
Now, it is worth noting, and it is kind of cool. Back in Gen 7, Silvally could not use the Z crystals, I believe. And now they made it so that the max move for multi-attack is the type of the Silvally. It matches the memory item it is holding and the effect. However, the power is reduced to a hard 90. I think this is largely due to the fact that it can be a poison or fighting type move, and something that we will talk about in more in depth at some point when we talk about all the max moves. But the effects for poison and fighting are respectively are a boost to special attack or physical attack by one stage for both Pokemon on your side of the field, and so those moves were given lesser power than the other max moves. And a lower ceiling to reach, a lower cap, because they, at Game Freak, deemed these effects to be too powerful. Not too powerful, but, you know, not on par with the rest. And
right.
So,
it was their way of trying to maintain balance.
Yes. Honestly, though, a lot of the other max moves have great effects, like max flying. You know, ones that set weather or terrain are always really good, too. I mean, I pretty much every max move is great. So,
certainly all going to be usable. And, you know, we talked about that the brand new speed mechanic for this gen, especially for double battles. So the ones that are probably going to help a lot are the max flying and normal. Because the flying one boosts your speed, and the normal one will lower the opponent's speed. That's a Airstream and Strike.
Yes, yeah, I believe those are the names. And so, speaking of Airstream, this is a terrible segue, but Charizard gets a new move to boost its max Airstream, or in a way, make a stronger max Airstream. Charizard now gets access to Hurricane, as do many other Pokemon, but this is the first notable one. As a lot of new moves have been made accessible via TR. The TMs in this game, if you've played through the game, are actually pretty lackluster. You get a lot of silly ones that you would never see in old games, like, I don't know, Rock Blast or Screech and Scary Face. Because they saved a lot of those good moves to be locked behind raids as TRs,
right.
Which, you know, interestingly enough, introduced a lot of stronger moves to essentially TM status back in the old days, like old day TM status. And because of that, they decided a lot of new Pokemon could learn, or old Pokemon could learn new moves. Charizard learning Hurricane is pretty interesting, though Charizard will likely want to be in the sun abusing that solar power. Hurricane, when transformed to Max Fly, still can't miss. And so can allow Charizard to set up the speed for its team. At 100 base speed, it's, you know, nothing to scoff at. It's a very strong, fast Pokemon. So another notable one, though, is Raichu gets Speed Swap, which I don't know how key that is going to be. And this is regular Raichu, not Alolan Raichu. And Raichu does have a 110 speed stat. The overall, like, speed tier, I guess I want to say, in this format is lower. You know, it's just a slower metagame in general, where in past years, you know, 100 was like fast. That was like where you wanted to be. And then, you know, all the way up to 130s. However, I think there's like one base 130 speed Pokemon in this game. There's some things that are like faster, but more fringe, some things that are faster and very good. And then a lot of the Pokemon, you know, hover around 90, 85, 70. In that slower speed tier. So maybe Raichu with Speed Swap will be a good one.
Right. Yes, of course. So the, you know, which is what the speed tier is like. It's funny. Everyone who's played in the past before kind of has to just, you know, kind of wrap their head around, you know, shifting the slider as to where, you know, the fast level of speed is now. So something that comes to mind is like Dragapult. And I'm sure we'll talk about Dragapult too at some point. Just like with that speed, which is base 142, that's nuts. But like you're saying, like there aren't that many things that are going to be outspeeding it or near that speed anyway. So do you need a Jolly Nature for that? Maybe not.
Dragapult, man.
Going back to the, real quick though, going back to the TRs and the TMs. Like the TRs, it's so cool to have, it opens the move pool for a lot of the Pokemon, a lot of older ones too, that gains like new access to things. One thing I noticed is that Scrafty now learns Close Combat, which I saw that and I was like, oh my god, that's crazy. New tech for Scrafty. Yeah.
I have a number of Pokemon marked down actually for Close Combat, and I'm just going to fire them all off here because I see them all kind of in a line on my sheet. That's just how it ended up. But yeah, Scrafty gets it, Escavalier, Haxorus, Golurk, Braviary, and Aegislash all now are able to learn Close Combat, which is really crazy. Aegislash, we talked about it in the last episode. It was one of the few Pokemon to get nerfed, but at least it got a move pool buff here. And, you know, it'll still end up being a strong max fighting, which could boost its attack further and not drop its defenses while still, you know, having that high base power from, you know, Close Combat bringing up the max move base power. Golurk had already fighting options, and I think Haxorus too. I don't know what Escavalier had before, though. Maybe they all just had superpower.
Yeah, honestly, I can't even remember if I learned that. Like, because you'd use the Steel and Bug move, and I could learn Drill Run eventually. And I don't remember if it learned superpower. I don't know.
It never really needed it, but Close Combat's interesting to see on it.
Yeah, it is. Another thing, like, just annoyed me about the TMs really quick is while some of those moves are pretty much garbage that you're never really going to use in competitive games, some of the TMs in the past remained TMs in this game, and they moved some of the numbers around, and that really annoyed me, because probably an example that everyone knows what TM Protect is, and that is, in the past, Alex, you know it?
Are you putting me on the spot? It's TM16, right?
I thought it was 17.
Oh, no.
Wait, am I wrong? Okay. Well, it was, I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
We're looking now. No, we're looking now. TM Protect.
It doesn't matter. It moved to a different number. And I think it's 25 now, which is just really funny. It's like, why did they move that? I don't understand. That didn't make sense.
Yeah, it's 17.
So, yeah, moved from 17 to 25. But it's just crazy how these are all, like, hidden behind the raids, so you gotta, like, go actively search for them instead of having the permanent thing like the TMs, which is kind of annoying a little bit, but still manageable. And, you know, just grinding for BP is another thing. That's kind of difficult. It'll take a while. Friendly PSA reminder to sign up for the Galar Beginnings. It's a singles competition, but yeah, just for participating once, one battle, you get 50 battle points for it. I highly recommend it.
And while we're on the topic of battle points, I recommend that before the end of the month of December, if you are, you know, able to do so, you know, either have enough time or, you know, willing to put that effort in, try to reach Master Ball tier in both VGC, or, you know, Battle Spot doubles, Battle Stadium doubles, and Battle Stadium singles, because you get 600 BP for reaching Master Ball tier in both of them if you do it before the end of the December, before the first season ends, is, I think, is how they're doing it. And if you get 1200 BP, after the first, you know, month and a half of playing the game, you're going to be set for a pretty good amount of time.
Yeah, that is a solid chunk to help you out with all the things you're going to need to be purchasing.
Now, moving us back to the moveset updates, Glaceon, while not the largely relevant Pokemon to VGC, it did get Freeze Dry. A number of Pokemon got high horsepower. I'm putting down here Mamoswine. I think I also down here, down the line, Excadrill now gets it, though I guess I didn't make a note of it because it did already have Drill Run, but high horsepower is preferred, I think, with that higher accuracy.
And higher power, I think, too.
Yeah, you're right. I think it just removes that chance for a critical hit, or the higher chance.
Right, but there's almost no reason to run Drill Run on it anymore.
And it's interesting because Pokemon are still opting to run high horsepower. Maybe it's just for lack of Earthquake synergy on the team, but max moves do enable Pokemon to once again have access to a single target ground move that can blow things up. Kind of like Z moves allowed Garchomp to run Earthquake and, you know, get a strong single target ground move if it needed it and didn't want to hurt its own partner. However, I'm seeing a number of Pokemon opt in for high horsepower. Ooh, also Hippowdon. Hippowdon is another Pokemon I have written down for high horsepower. But moving us right along, another Hurricane Pokemon in Mantine. Mystical Fire was given to a number of Pokemon, specifically fairy types. So like Sylveon, Gardevoir, you name it. It's actually like the new hidden power fire. It's kind of absurd.
Yeah, the fairies, I guess, also would have struggled to, you know, deal with some of the steel types on their own. So it's kind of neat that they gave a lot of these Pokemon a ways to check, check their checks. Wow.
Check their checks. So let's see, Hydro Pump Gastrodon. I don't know how large that will be. Once again, they just keep kicking my Hard Trick Room team in the shins. And they took Follow Me away from Lucario.
Oh, wow, it's not even in the move pool anymore. It's kind of like, yeah, wow, that's kind of nuts. It's not an egg move anymore.
So, I think another number of Pokemon lost moves, whether it was through the move being removed from the game or their breeding partners no longer being accessible in the game. So, yeah, this is just one of the major ones that I saw listed was Lucario losing Follow Me. I think at this point, there's actually quite a few good ones left to mention. We'll just keep firing through them really quick. Gyarados is the big one, though. This is probably the one that people are, you know, drawing the most attention to, is that Gyarados now gets Power Whip.
Yeah, and that's pretty big to help, you know, help it with what its, you know, kind of its role is right now.
Yeah, and so it's able to get rid of Rotom Wash much easier than it should be able to, which is a Pokemon that, you know, Gyarados can normally struggle against because it just doesn't have quite the coverage to deal with it. You know, it can already deal with Rotom Heat to a good extent, and then with the Max Airstream coming off of Bounce, it can take care of Rotom Cut. I'm lying. I forgot it's not weak to flying. So, you know, maybe Rotom Cut also gives it a bit of trouble, and it can't quite get rid of that. So maybe that's where people should be flocking, because Rotom Wash is in danger of taking a Max Grass.
Yes, it is. And all those Rotom forms definitely still have certainly place in the metagame. Certainly Wash.
Oh, they are the metagame, Steven.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm getting to. But anyway, you know, whenever Rotom's present, it always is on teams, because we know it's a solid Pokemon.
Yeah, it seems to be that way, or at least in most cases. Another big one that I think a lot of people were blowing up about. This one I was actually spoiled on, and people were making a lot of hype about it, and I have yet to face it, or barely even see the Pokemon in the number of VGC battles I have played. That is, Gothitelle now has access to Fake Out.
Oh my gosh, really? I did not see that.
They gave Fake Out to a Shadow Tag Pokemon.
Wait, didn't I also see like Shadow Tag got nerfed too?
No, that was a rumor.
Oh, that was a rumor, okay, just kidding.
And it was a couple of days ago that this was going around, and whoever brought it to our chat, we actually said, like, do you mind testing this? And they tested it and disproved it, so... Yeah, I believe that. I'm pretty certain that is just a false rumor going around.
Okay, we won't even mention what it even was then.
Yeah, so that's going to be really huge, though. Gothitelle, again, I have not seen a lot of it. And Fake Out, you know, not as big as it used to be, thanks to, you know, Dynamax being immune to flinch. Vanillux now gets Aurora Veil. And I didn't note it, but I think Abomasnow might too.
Yes, I believe it does get that.
So that's pretty cool, because now, instead of having to have those Pokemon set the hail for Aurora Veil setters, they can just do it themselves along, you know, kind of like Alolan Ninetales. And Aurora Veil is a very strong move, so Vanillux, you know, if it can keep control of that weather, it can, you know, set up the bulk for its team.
Yeah, and that is pretty nice, and we did get Defog. I don't know how useful that's going to be, but Defog can clear that effect, as well as like screens and the any other field effects.
I wrote down a Defog Pokemon just because it's funny, even though Defog is not largely seen in VGC, and that is Conkeldurr. Conkeldurr now gets Defog.
All right, sure.
I don't know what he's doing. I'm sure there are artists already out there animating how Conkeldurr uses Defog, because it just sounds hilarious. And I would love to see a GIF of that. But here we go. One that I've been interested in lately is Jellicent is now able to use Strength Sap. This is a move that, like, I think was a slow, like, move to take off in singles. But once it did, people, like, you know, used it on almost every mon that could get it. Because Strength Sap is just really cool at healing Pokemon that don't normally have healing. As well as it just heals a lot. Especially against physical attackers. Because, it, you know, it takes their attack stat, adds that as healing to yourself, and then lowers their attack by one. This is a means of, you know, not just neutering the opponent, but also preventing yourself from spamming the move for full healing every time. Unless, of course, the Pokemon is immune to attack drops. But yeah, Sap Sipper is a really interesting healing move that has not seen a lot of VGC play, but, you know, maybe could be good on a Pokemon like Jellicent.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, since we're only 2.5 weeks into the format in the metagame, like, there's so much time to work on teams and develop things, and we don't have official competitions until January, but this is just so exciting to see so many Pokemon gain all these new moves, see all the different strategies that are popping up, and while people are centralizing you know, the strong Pokemon and teams at the moment, there's going to be a lot of, you know, variety and diversity hopefully coming around in these next upcoming weeks.
Now, I think we're reaching the bottom of our list here. Hydreigon now gets Hydro Pump, Dragon Dance, and Nasty Plot, which is just a big, big change to an already great Pokemon.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. Wow.
Yeah. Hawlucha gets Close Combat and Brave Bird. And lastly, I will introduce Steven to a move that I'm betting he hasn't heard of, and that is Clangorous Soul.
Clangorous Soul. Okay, yeah, go over that. I have not heard that.
So it is a signature move to Komo-Oh, and it gives it +1 in each of its stats, and it lowers its HP by 1/3.
Okay. So, sounds familiar.
They decided that the Z move didn't need to go away completely. It does not deal damage, Clangorous Soul. Mm-hmm. It just boosts your stats, reduces your HP by 1/3. In ways, it is like a weird belly drum. But, yeah, Komo-Oh does have that as an option now.
Huh, how about that? So, there are certainly a lot of options to play around with. And, like, I saw another thing is, like, you know, you always look for those fake out Pokemon. I saw Indeedee gets fake out, but it doesn't really synergize with it getting Psychic Surge as its ability, which is kind of funny. And the Hitmontop and Scrafty are your Intimidate with fake out Pokemon. They gave Hitmontop Sucker Punch back to its move pool, which it lacked for several years now. But it's kind of cool that it got it back, so it helps against the something like Dragapult and just priority in general.
Yeah.
But back to Komo-Oh, my. Yeah, I guess they really liked having that effect, so they still want people to try and abuse that.
I guess that's just going to be Komo-Oh's thing. So anyway, it took a bit of convincing for me to get Steven to talk about this with me on the show. So we're going to just give it a little bit of time before, you know, the real tournaments end up coming. I talked about it last week, the Galar Weeklies that Professor Shroomish or Zach Carlson has been hosting. These are really the main VGC tournaments going on for the potential 2020 rule set. You know, we're just playing doubles using the Battle Stadium rules and, you know, playing with a typical traditional Swiss-style tournament with, you know, a top 8 cut. It was actually a X and 2 cut the first week, and then a top 8 cut in the second week because the tournament was larger, and Zach didn't want to be up all night. So, understandably, we have had two of these tournaments going on, or happened already so far, and the first one got something around 60-something competitors, like between 60 and 70, and the second one actually reached 90 competitors because more and more people are being... are prepared to play in game. So I think that it's just worthwhile talking about these and running through them really quickly, just because I think this is great to see what the VGC metagame has, you know, started out to be.
Yeah, it's like a nice little snapshot, and you know, you've participated in these as well, so it's you have a lot of playing experience to kind of like relay to everybody here.
Yes. So I did play in both of these tournaments. I ended up getting top 8 in the first one and then top 16 in the second one when I finished like X and 2, but you know, there was no X and 2 cut. So I just was 12th and then done. So moved on from there. But in the first tournament, we actually saw Nails, a known player in the scene, Nick Navarre, win the whole tournament over Justin Burns, Spirific, in the finals. Both of them are good friends of mine. They've both been on the show recently because I've been working a lot with them lately. So it was fun to see two of my friends make it to the finals. I was actually, we were all hanging out in call while the finals was played. We were just kind of chilling, talking to each other on Discord while they played their set. I of course, there was no chilling because this was, you know, this was high stakes. There was, you know, pride to be won as well as like $5. Something like $5 for the finals there. I ended up using the same team as Nails because I was not yet completed. I had not yet completed the game or bred a team in game. And so, unfortunately, I could not go any further than top 8 with the winning team. But I had a lot of fun playing with it and abusing the new speed mechanics with Whimsicott in this first week. Whimsicott Has gotten a huge buff from the new speed mechanic because Prankster Tailwind is essentially like an after you for your partner if your Pokemon is fast enough or your opponent doesn't have any kind of speed control to, you know, counter it. And so using that alongside heavy, hard-hitting Pokemon like Excadrill, Rotom Wash, Gyarados, all just hitting really hard, as well as Chandelure with, you know, that high special attack stat, meant that you could just, you know, bring these, you know, high to mid-speed Pokemon to incredible speeds to take care of the threats before they could even be a problem.
Yeah, so certainly a mechanic that, you know, is going to propel Whimsicott to the top early on, as well as a lot of Pokemon trying to utilize that Max Airstream or the Max Strike to do the same. So I see a lot of Dragapult, as well as we've been mentioning a lot. And there's also the Dracovish on Justin's team. So I want to talk about that one a little bit because of how kind of crazy powerful it can be. The attack it has, right? Its ability is Strong Jaw. It's one of those crazy fossil Pokemon too, right? And it cannot breed. So, you know, you get it and then you need to, you know, raise it with get it the right nature and the right stats. And the move, its signature move is, or not signature move, but its move it can use is Vicious Rend, which gets the boost from Strong Jaw. And the effect from that move is that if you attack first, I think before it takes any damage or something, that attack does double damage.
It is before the opposing Pokemon that you are attacking has made a move. And this also does double damage to switch-ins. So, for example, if Dracovish was the third Pokemon to move in battle, as long as it is attacking the Pokemon that is moving fourth, it will get that double damage. Or if that Pokemon did switch out, it would get the double damage on it. And yeah, because of these like number of boosts between abilities, stab, and, you know, just a decent base power, it's a move that can hit really hard, and it hits even resisted Pokemon for very high damage. And it's a kind of fun. Like, it's been a lot of there's been a lot of hype behind it in the VGC like community. I think largely just because people like to post high damage calcs with it. I don't see this Pokemon sticking around very long. I think it'll be kind of fringe usage and then fall off, but it is fun to see just how absurd how much damage this thing can do.
Yeah, a lot of new toys to play with, and I'm sure everyone's having a lot of fun with this one here.
So the main thing that I think should be mentioned is the team that Nails and I through Nails used was Excadrill, T-Tar, Rotom Wash, Whimsicott, Gyarados, and Chandelure. And just in general, throughout the tournament, Excadrill was the most used Pokemon, though I think it was just barely ahead of Rotom if you combine all forms. I think Rotom was on all but one team. And again, don't take these usage stats too much to heart. This is from a 60-person tournament, and they took the top 11 teams. So when you see Excadrill at 82%, you don't say, oh my gosh, the metagame is so broken. They thought they were fixing this and, you know, like, bring back the national decks, as so many people have commented on these Twitter posts. This is just a small sample, and we are still in the first. This was actually a week after the game came out, or maybe 2 weeks, and so you know, we still have to, you know, give it time to see where we end up before, you know, we can call for any kind of, like, recall in the games or anything, you know, like all these kinds of rallying cries.
Right, and just like a whole entire, with the whole lines of anything being broken, I want to just ask you, with your use of Dynamax on your team, you know, how many of your Pokemon did you end up use Dynamaxing on that team? And what's your evaluation of Dynamax so far?
So, something that we should probably cover is that while going into the games, we thought Dynamax would be just a 1.5 HP boost. It is actually a 2x boost, essentially making your Pokemon double as healthy, or I guess, you know, it resists all damage in a way. So, you know, a simple way to think of it is a super effective move is now neutrally effective. A neutrally effective move is almost resisted, and like Gyarados, you know, for example, quadruple weak to electric is now just weak to electric and can live quite a few electric moves from non-Dynamaxed Pokemon because it is such a high special defense stat, you know, able to withstand moves from like Rotom. So the I think when I want to talk about Dynamax, I just want to talk about the most important items it affects, because I did Dynamax almost every Pokemon that I brought, except for maybe Whimsicott, is that, you know, the interaction with choice items, with the choice band and choice specs, you no longer receive the boost, but you are no longer locked in when you choose to Dynamax. So, for example, if my choice, you know, choice band Excadrill goes for an Earthquake turn one, turn two, I can Dynamax and pick any move. And then once the Dynamax expires after three turns, if my Excadrill is still on the field, I can select a new move and then just be locked into that from the rest of the game until I switch that Excadrill out. And so choice moves are interesting with Dynamax. I would not say they are amazing or terrible. I think that it's just they have a really cool interaction. I think the best items in the format right now are one, Life Orb, because Life Orb does not stop boosting the damage of your moves when you Dynamax. However, it only takes 1/10 of your original HP. So you are taking 1/20 in Dynamax form. So you are still hit. It is about the hardest you can hit as a Dynamax Pokemon while still, you know, making use of that item. It's nice for that aspect, as well as you're not dealing too much HP to yourself anymore. You know, if you were to use one Life Orb attack, or I guess let's do three Life Orb attacks as a Dynamax Pokemon, you're only losing 15% of your health, assuming you took no damage during those three turns. Lastly, there are two more items I want to talk about. One is Assault Vest, because Assault Vest's effects do not go away when you Dynamax, and that is what makes Assault Vest Pokemon even stronger in this year than in years past. You can, you know, put four moves that have really good effects. Gyarados is a large proponent for this, where it can use, you know, max grass, max water, max flying, all for their great effects. And then whatever last move you want on that Gyarados for, you know, a fringe effect to give it more coverage. It's just really versatile, as well as, you know, you retain that bulk. So, you know, you're a Dynamax Pokemon with an Assault Vest. Gyarados is no longer dying to any electric move, really. And then lastly, this has been a recent spike in popularity, is the item weakness policy. As I had mentioned, you know, you essentially now resist all moves by one more tier. And so, for example, a Tyranitar can very easily eat a Earthquake or a ground move from an Excadrill or a Steel move. And that activates its weakness policy, and now it can go for a +2 attack, even though it kind of shrugged off those ground moves like it was just a neutral attack, and it's really, really strong to put on these bulkier Pokemon.
Yeah, that just sounds so amazing to hear what these items can have, these effects with the Dynamax Pokemon, and these interactions. So I personally haven't gotten a chance to play any VGC games yet. Working on stuff and, you know, busy with work and everything, but I'll get around to it when the time becomes important to do that. So, not saying that now is not important, but it's really cool to get these quick snapshot. And really quickly, I just wanted you to talk about the so this was the first weekly that we've mostly been focusing on with this first team. There was a second one that happened already, and you used a different team, a hard trick room team. Tell us a little bit about that tournament, that team, what things they liked and maybe not liked about it.
Yeah. So this was a week later, and honestly, I feel like the metagame had developed so much over just these, like, you know, 2 weeks, and I think it's going to continue to develop further. It's, you know, going to be going at a rapid, rapid pace as we go through. I think it's very worth noting, and you'll find this in the VGC stats, Twitter, the tweet that they posted the result with, Lucas, the winner of the tournament, whose username is Hendrik Plopkoek, something along those lines. This was his first ever tournament, and he was able to win it all with 90 people in the running. A lot of veterans, a lot of people, you know, much more experienced, but he was able to take it all with a very cool team. At this point, it's like hard to say standard, because, you know, we're so early into the game, but a lot of Pokemon that, for those who have played a lot of VGC, familiar at this point, had T-Tar, Excadrill, Rotom Wash, Dragapult, Corviknight, a very common sand build. However, a Galarian Weezing was the last member of the team with the neutralizing gas. And there's one game, at least on YouTube, on Cable VGC's YouTube, that you can watch him put this Weezing into work. And it's just so cool how you can use it to just turn off abilities at your own whim. It really, you know, brings a unique aspect of control to the game. I was not able to play Lucas throughout the tournament. I was I went 2-0 to 2-2 to 5-2, which meant that I had enough wins to make it into the cut, but unfortunately my resistance was not the greatest and I finished in 12th place. With a very fun Hard Trick Room team though, in Kofagrigus, Torkoal, Mudsdale, Conkeldurr, Hatterini, and Ndidi. This is a team that Angel and I work together, and if you want to actually play with it, the rental code is on my Twitter right now, and you guys can just take it for a spin, because I think already there's a lot of attention drawn on to Hatterini and Ndidi, as it is able to set up Trick Room and, you know, just kind of do a lot of damage with Psychic Terrain and a hat. I think that going forward, you know, you need to be able to beat that, and it was a lot of fun to play. I lost one game to just, you know, my opponent being the better player, and then I lost one game to Rock Slide being a Trick Room counter because I could not get it up. But I had a lot of fun games throughout the tournament. It was very fun to play, and I don't know what else to say. It was just very fun, and please do check out the rental code if you want to experience it for yourself.
I certainly think this is definitely a team and an archetype that you're going to be working on and developing over the course of the season. So we'll definitely stay tuned for updates as we go along with the show too. And another thing I wanted to just point out here is, so at this moment, we don't really know what Gigantamax Pokemon are going to have any kind of rule, because at the moment in the doubles rules for Battle Stadium, they are banned. So you just can't use them at the moment. And ultimately, we don't know what's going to happen with them at this moment. In terms of getting a official rules document, are they going to be banned? Are they not going to be? We're just going to wait and see for an update on all of that. But, Alex, gosh, this, you know, we've kind of already reached time, but there's so much more to talk about. We've hardly scratched the surface even. Like, there's so many Pokemon we didn't even get to talk about. There's so many, like, new mechanics changes, new move sets, move pools, new Pokemon.
Items.
Right, yeah. Gosh, I there's so much to do and work on for, you know, January.
Yeah, and we're gonna, you know, keep it coming. We've got a lot of things to talk about, a lot of new stuff I'm looking forward to talking about. Just, yeah, we just can't squeeze it all in here. Apologies again for not having a guest. I think this is 2 weeks in a row. Hopefully not more. But things just keep falling through last minute, so we will definitely try to get some you know, outside opinions for the coming weeks, but yeah, we'll do our best. Otherwise you're gonna have to deal with us, which hopefully if you're listening to this, you at least enjoy our opinions.
I think we're manageable. We're good.
I can tolerate you.
The one last thing I want to say is I want to encourage everyone to really truly just explore what the game has to offer, but on the competitive side. So feel free to, like, use a lot of the rental teams, you know, learn what the Pokemon do, all the mechanics work, how all the new mechanics work, but really just explore the metagame. Like, feel free to branch out, experiment with a lot of different Pokemon and teams, items and moves. So, because now's the time. It's very early in the metagame, early in this entire new game. We're going to have a whole, you know, at least 8 months of this stuff, probably longer, but just look for that hidden potential in all these Pokemon, even though they don't have hidden power anymore.
Just take, like, you know, if you do like Hard Trick Room, just take my team and play enough games with it until you figure out what does and doesn't work for you. Like, if you're playing with the team, the Conkeldurr should not work with you. The Conkeldurr was terrible, and he needs to come off the team immediately. This is what I needed to mention about Conkeldurr later, is it might have been better with a Iron Fist. I added Guts and Flame Orb on it, but it doesn't work quite like Hariyama did back in 2017 when I could use Fake Out to set up Trick Room. The Flame Orb activates and then I bring it in. Instead, it is coming onto the field, unable to activate its Flame Orb. It has to go for at least one non-Flame Orb boosted attack. And that's just not ideal if you want to, you know, make Trick Room go as fast as possible. So please, please get rid of that Conkeldurr. Replace it with a Conk Elder, as Steven would say.
Okay, sure. Why did you pick that one? You could have picked any other Pokemon to make a comment about, but fine. So, yeah, look to make modifications to existing teams and work on your own stuff as well. But this has been very exciting to take our, like, real first steps into talking about the competitive game for Sword and Shield here. And, you know, the official format, which will hopefully be revealed to us soon, we'll definitely are awaiting news on that.
And we'll be, along with the lines of, you know, not giving empty promises, we'll be covering the Galar weeklies as long as they are, you know, the interesting Sword and Shield tournaments that are going on, you know, before we get the official format. But there's no guarantee that we'll be, you know, going through them every time, just because, you know, at some point the hype will die down behind them. They won't be reaching like way larger than regional attendance that we might have seen this weekend. Hopefully the regionals, you know, take back over, and then we can get back to talking about the live events. But right now, this is, you know, kind of where the metagame is at, and Showdown is in shambles. So I'd rather talk about, you know, some in-game tournaments that are going on now, just to get a, you know, a grasp of what the metagame's at so far.
So I think a good thing to do here is just to plug these Galar weeklies. Do check out the VGC Tournament Stats Twitter to find information on that. And is that correct, Alex?
Yes, VGC Tournament Stats, run by Zach Carlson, Professor Shroomish. Give him a follow, too. He posts great content. Honestly, just like great VGC memes, too, if you're into that kind of stuff. And just, you know, following the circuit, VGC Stats is one of the most important resources we have out there. The goal is to record every IRL tournament that is run. And then, you know, record the results and what earned points and stuff. And it's just really a really helpful tool if you're getting into VGC to figure out what is good, what is being used, and how to deal with it. Well, how to deal with it is actually up to you.
True. But, you know, just a plug for the Galar Weeklies. Check them out if you're so inclined. Give it a shake. Go try them out. Go play in them. Go have fun.
I'll be playing in them. Come fight me.
So these have been some very nice, very fun, enjoyable first baby steps into the Sword and Shield competitive metagame here. So, Alex, thanks so much for joining me today as we, you know, officially get to start with Sword and Shield.
Thanks for listening to me blab, because I had a lot to get out, and there's still so much more.
I know, like, oh my gosh, there's so much more. Well, anyway, we don't have any questions to answer, so remember, that's going to be our show. You can find us in a variety of different places. You can find us in on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Remember, you can leave us a review to help us with visibility for the show. Help others discover it if this is something that they would enjoy. Likewise, tell your friends about this show if you think they would like it. And definitely send us some feedback, comments, questions. You know, we like reading some of those. We like reading those things to our email, vgchypervoice@gmail.com. You know, just really helps us out with what we're doing well, not so well. And just like being able to answer, you know, your listener questions on the show. And lastly, you can also find the show on Facebook and Twitter at The Hypervoice. You can also find the two of us personally as well. You can follow me at Super Morioka. And Alex, where can people follow you?
You can follow me at LexiconVGC.
All right, perfect. So, you know, everyone, get to training, get to playing, enjoy your practice. Tournaments will be coming up officially in a little over a month. So, you know, that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you, the listener. And stay tuned for more of the Hypervoice.
Alola.